second hour at Aaron Donick and Chase here on this Thursday. Hope everybody's having a good day on this sunny, beautiful day here in Middle Tennessee. We talk with the GM, Floyd Reese. You can be heard every afternoon from 2 to 6 right here on these airwaves, Monday through Friday. We talked to him this time on Thursdays. Floyd, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you guys this morning?
Doing fantastic.
Good.
Floyd, every week is brought to you by Sealmaster, keeping your parking lots looking brand new. I'm not going to ask you about uniforms, Floyd. We're going to actually talk about the Titans and the Steelers, so we'll just avoid that. But yeah. I do want to go back quickly on Sunday and just get your thoughts, because I know Romeo Crennel has been around forever. I know, you know, your paths have crossed a ton, I'm sure, over the years. What did you make? I know he's the interim. He's in a weird spot. They're just coming off their first win of the season. But the way that game played out at the end, what were your thoughts?
You know, I thought just what you said. You know, I think those decisions are easier when you're not looking for the job next year. You know, if it would have been a coach that would have said, okay, if I can find a way to win this game and look really smart, you know, maybe it will help me next year. Romeo's not in that position. You know, he's kind of like, hey, take a shot. You know, what have I got to lose? It's not going to make any difference to my career one way or the other. So he took a shot. You know, he had a chance to close it out. And I wouldn't have done it. But, you know, he had a chance to close it out. He figured, what the heck, we'll go for it. You know, I feel good about our offense, the way they're moving the ball right now, and I think we can pick this up. And truth is, if it wasn't for the giant paw of Big Jeff, you know, it probably would have worked.
I felt like Rich Gannon. I felt like if I was in the booth during that, that's what I would have sounded like. So you felt the same way, like, no, you would have kicked the extra point?
Yeah, yeah. I would have kicked it and, you know, made them, because they were still going to have to score and get the 2 point, you know. You know, I think the rate of 2 points are roughly 50% or 48% or something like that. So, you know, the odds were maybe just a tiny bit in your favor. But, you know, I think they had to feel like, hey, this is our shot. We'll go for it and see what happens.
You're the perfect guy to ask, because Steve McNair and Eddie George were humming along at a high clip, you know, in the same season. And so you're having success out of your star running back. You're having success out of your star quarterback. Both are vitally important to your success, and your team is having success. But when you have a sports talk show and you have to talk for 4 hours a day, as you experience every day, you know, you take deeper dives. You constantly bring up all this stuff. Well, you're not talking about it in the building, but we're talking about it in forums like this. So we've been talking about Ryan Tannehill or Derrick Henry. Just in your opinion, which one is – we get it, they're both vitally important, but if you had to pick one of team MVP, who would you pick? And why?
Well, I think probably now, because of the effect he has on the team, I would probably go with Derek. If you made me pick between the two, I would take Ryan. Pick meaning, you know, okay, this guy's going to be on your roster in the next 3 or 4 years because he's a quarterback. And we all know you don't have much of a chance without a quarterback. The problem we have right now, and teams are, you know, there are other teams that are like us. If we don't have Derek, we probably don't have much of a chance, even with a quarterback. So, you know, Derek has, I mean, what he did this Sunday, I mean, he literally, and you just don't see this very often from a running back, you know, where they can just take a team and put them on their back and carry him, you know, the 94-yarder, and then turn around with a swing pass for 53 and doing things like that. I mean, that's just not common. And I think what he did was spectacular.
Yeah. I said the same thing. I was just curious. And I think Willie said Derrick Henry as well. Look, I know we're splitting hairs. I was just curious where you sided on that. We also had Brad Hopkins on this week to kind of talk about, now that Taylor Lewan is out for the season, and, you know, what a guy, when, you know, you had Bruce Matthews and you could, you know, move him around everywhere, and, you know, they may have to eventually start shuffling things around. I mean, there's still 11 games to go, so, you know, long ways to go in the season, and so you don't know, whatever they start with this week doesn't mean that's how it's going to end.
Right.
How would you approach trying to give Ryan Tannehill and your running game, you know, the right protection, the right holes? You know, where would you start if it were you? And what does it mean to lose a guy like Taylor Lewan?
Yeah, I mean, losing Taylor is gigantic. You know, you can't replace an all-pro, Pro Bowl caliber left tackle. They just aren't out there. So whoever you bring in is going to be a drop-off. I mean, I think we know that. I think how, and this is where the coaches are really, really going to fit in this week and for the rest of the year from that standpoint, how you protect against whoever it is you're playing is going to be critical. And I think, for example, this week, you know, do you make a choice? That is, do you go into each play saying, okay, we're going to chip on the left side this time and hopefully he's the one that's coming? Well, if you're wrong, you know, it might be a sack. And you say, okay, then maybe we'll chip in on the right side and take a shot. And there are going to be plays where the guy is just going to have to block them. I mean, it's that simple. But I think they're going to have to put together something where maybe they slide the protection one way or the other and stick a tight end or a back on the other side. So you're constantly over-protecting rather than under-protecting. You know, you're going to block four or five with six, and maybe more if you need them, but with six, and I think give yourself a chance. Give everybody an opportunity. With the pass rushers this week, I mean, these guys can destroy a game. They can wreck the game. And you have to prevent that from happening. So you've got to go in there with a clear game plan that says, you know, if in fact we are unable to block with our left tackle one-on-one against whoever's going to be out there, then we're going to have to help him, and that's just going to have to be part of the game plan. We're going to be short a guy in every one of the pass patterns, but, you know, if you don't get the ball off, it doesn't matter what kind of pattern you run. So I think they've got to start there and make sure that's solid.
Just to illustrate what you're saying, Floyd, the Steelers have 42 tackles for loss, which is the most by a team through five games in the NFL in the last 12 years. So they have really been dynamic here. I want to ask you one on the other side of the ball. It looks like Ben Roethlisberger, out of necessity, you know, his age and he had the terrible injury to his elbow, has almost reinvented himself. We have this vision of him. I'll always have the vision of him holding the ball for the extra second or two, bouncing off of people, willing to take the hit. But it looks like they've really emphasized getting the ball out quick and hitting those short passes and spreading the ball around.
I think, you know, at a point in time in his career, if they would have suggested this, he might have been offended. At this point in time in his career and after the injury from last year, when they talk about, okay, we're going to get the ball off, we're going to be okay with a check down, we're going to be okay with a tight end hook, we're going to be okay with a quick out, those kinds of things, he probably appreciates it. You know, he's probably pretty tired of getting beat up. And I think that, you know, they're using him differently. If you look at, for example, his numbers, I don't think you're seeing nearly as many long down the field passes as they've kind of lived on in the past. But they are more, you know, he's going in there and he's more our style. He's going to go in, he's going to throw the ball 24, 25 times, try to complete 17 or 18, get a couple of touches, let the running game do its part, and then let that defense that we've talked about, which is just awesome, go ahead and turn the ball over once or twice. We're going to be in great shape.
How would you try to evaluate these next few days with Adoree Jackson? Maybe in a perfect world, you sit there and go, you could use a few more weeks of practice, you know, maybe another week of practice just to stay safe. But you're playing a team that, as we just said, spreads the ball around, and he may be, even if he's not in perfect shape, a better option than the replacement that would be in there. So how would you look at Jackson the next couple of days to determine if he's ready to dress out on Sunday?
Yeah, I mean, they're going to have to keep an eye on him in practice. You know, really get a good picture of where he is. After yesterday's practice, and I don't know what he's done today, but after yesterday's practice, they're going to see, you know, is there any swelling in the injury? Is it really, really sore? You know, all of those kinds of things. Because as much as he would really help this defense this week going against you know, to another 5-0 team. And as big as it would be to win this game, you know, from an emotional confidence standpoint, you're much better off having him for the rest of the year. And that's kind of the way you would have to look at it, I think. If he can go in and play 25 plays and not re-injure himself and give you what you need out of him, then you're probably going to be thrilled. You know, if he can't do that, then maybe you're smart saying, hey, you know, you're close. You're 85%. But we're going to give you another week, get that other 15% back, and then next week and for the rest of the year we'll be 100%.
How does the trade deadline being pushed back a couple weeks affect things in your mind?
You know, I think it makes it a little bit more like some of the other sports in that, you know, the trade deadline prior was always so early that, you know, teams, I always say the good teams don't know they're good and the bad teams don't know they're bad. And so when you talk about trading, you're saying, well, are we going to trade to make ourselves good because we think we're really good? Or, you know, are we going to start dumping people when we think there's a chance we're going to win 10 games? And I think they go through that. By moving it back, some of these teams, like, you know, I saw where Minnesota traded Ndakwe to Baltimore. Well, you've got a team there that's 1-5 or whatever they are, and they're saying, hey, this just isn't working out. If we can recapture some of those draft picks that we've had, maybe that's what we need to do. And they're saying, okay, that's fine. We're just going to dump it and go from there. So I think it's opened it up a lot more. I think you're going to see those that are on the cusp either way may be willing to buy or sell to hopefully get themselves over the hump.
We're talking to the GM, Floyd Reese, 2-6 weekdays on ESPN 102.5 The Game. So along those lines of the trade deadline, if you were the GM of the Titans right now and you're evaluating, because you just made some great points of that, you with it being
somebody wants to
back,
make a trade. Somebody
yeah,
wants to make a trade.
Somebody's calling right now to make a trade. You made some great points with it being pushed back. Maybe you do make more of a move. What position group would you be looking for right now if you're John Robinson?
Well, normally, almost always, I would say pass rusher. You know, somebody could knock the quarterback down. We've got to get that right at some point in time. The other side of that, of course, now is you don't know where you are with the corners. And is, in fact, Adoree ready to go a little bit this week and be okay the rest of the year? Or is it going to take another 3 weeks? Because if it's going to take another 3 weeks, you might be looking out there for some kind of a speed cover corner. You know, we don't need we need speed. You know, that's the thing that's killing us. And I think against a team like Pittsburgh this week with their receivers, I think that's where you notice it more. You know, where you – and we saw it in the last couple of games. The defensive guys get frustrated, players and coaches. And they feel like, you know, we can't quite get there with a pass rush. We can't quite get them covered. And so how are we going to remedy this? Well, we're going to blitz. That'll do it. And then you blitz, and you see what happened to Butler when he gave up the long touchdown. You know, and you say, well, you know, we could have done that and maybe gotten there, but instead we gave up a touchdown. Had we gone the other way, maybe it would have taken them 5 plays to get down there. And somewhere along that 5 plays, they drop a pass or tip a pass or we get a sack, get a strip sack and end up with a ball. So, you know, all those things are running through your mind, but you get so frustrated with it. You know, you get so, I'm tired of this. I don't care. We're going to blitz. And then the worst thing happens, and then you go, man, oh, man, I wish I hadn't have done that.
What did you think of how Arthur used Jeremy McNichols, the other running back, last week? I mean, we saw what Derek did. He really broke out, but how he worked in McNichols to a couple of different packages.
Yeah, I thought it went well. You know, we were running the ball well anyway. And they were struggling to stop the run. And, you know, he went in there and I can't remember what he carried the ball 5, 6, 7 times, gained 50 yards. I mean, that's pretty impressive. So I think, I think they used him wisely. I think, you know, one of the things Arthur does is he's got a great feel for the right play at the right time with the right player. And somehow he seems to scheme those things up, get him on the field, you know, in maybe a real important time or a real important play, and it works. And that, believe me, that is difficult to do. You know, it sounds good when at the, you know, on the Tuesday night meeting at 2 o'clock when you say, well, okay, we'll just wait for this situation and then we'll run so-and-so in the game and then we'll call this play and sure enough, it'll be a touchdown. Well, like I said, at 2 o'clock, that sounds good. Now find that time during the game where that actually comes to fruition, and it doesn't happen very often.
But before we let you go, and I'm not asking about this guy for the Titans because I think they're good at this position, but you've been hesitant before when talking about Antonio Brown of bringing him in. There's rumors that when his suspension is up after week eight that Seattle and other teams could be looking at him. So as a GM, what would he have to show you to change your mind in order for you to bring him in?
Oh, I don't know if he could, Chaser. I mean, I don't, you know, I'm a big one on what you've done in the past. And I think if you look at his history, I mean, you just shake your head. You know, you say, how can anybody, what, you know, one of the old, what were you thinking kind of thing. Well, obviously he wasn't thinking much. And you know, aside from the fact that I'm not sure he would fit in here, maybe he would. But I think, you know, in my mind right now, he's one of those guys you're always going to be waiting for the other shoe to drop. You know, there's going to be another something or other come along, and it's going to be a problem for you.
There you go. He is the GM, Floyd Reese. Hear him today at 2 o'clock alongside Jared Stillman. Floyd, appreciate it as always. We'll talk next week.
You bet, guys. Thanks.
The GM, Floyd Reese. When we come back, Willie's got some numbers. Willie likes the numbers. He's got them for the Steelers. We'll talk about that when we return. Darren Donica Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.